أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لمقدمه الفداء السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين السلام على أبا الفضل العباس بن أمير المؤمنين الفادي بنفسه لأخيه المقطوعة يداه أحق الناس أن يبكى علي فتى أبكى الحسين بكربلاء أخوه وابن والده علي أبو الفضل المدرج بالدماء يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Respected scholars, all brothers and sisters in Islam, عزاداران السلام علیکم جميعا و رحمت الله و برکاته و اعظم الله اجورنا و اجوركم بمصابنا بالحسین و اولاد الحسین و اصحاب الحسین علیهم افضل الصلوات و التحیات. On behalf of all of us, allow me to convey our sincere condolences to our holy imam صاحب العصر و الزمان عجل الله تعالی فرجه الشریف, especially tonight being the night dedicated to ابو الفضل عباس باب الحوائج الالله قمر بنی هاشم. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His abundant mercy upon all of us and all azadaran, all the mourners for Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim across the globe. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us among those who receive the shafa'at of Ahlul Bayt, particularly Abu al-Fadl Abbas, inshallah. Upon our death, inshallah, Abu al-Fadl Abbas will come to our rescue with salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I don't know if you've heard the story of the fake but humble prophet. Anybody has heard the story of the fake humble prophet? Okay, I will mention it to you. He was fake, obviously, but he was a humble, supposedly, prophet, so-called prophet. The story is a made-up story, but because I want to deliver a message to you, I mention this. Get to the moral of the story. Somebody claimed that he is a prophet. They said to him that, well, there is no more prophet after the prophet of Islam. He said, yes, there is an exception. I'm just a mini prophet. They said, look, prophets, they had miracles. What is your miracle? He said, like what? They said, like, for example, the prophet of Islam, when he was telling a tree to come, the tree would be uprooted and would come to the holy prophet. He said, okay, I will try it. He called the tree, come. Once, twice, the tree didn't come. Then he said, you know what? I'm a humble prophet. What's the difference? I go to the tree. The tree didn't come. I'll go to the tree. Moral of the story, I've been waiting for you in the morning sessions, every morning session, and I had prepared a tafsir for Surah Al-Fajr to present it, but we even didn't get a chance to open it because I've been waiting, like Layli Majnun, waiting for you. Subhanallah, it wasn't possible. And it seems that it's not possible, it's not feasible for, I'm talking about the big crowd with all respect to those who attend. Therefore, I said to myself, well, let's be a humble prophet. I'll go to them. And what I wanted to mention to you during the days of mourning, just in a nutshell, very briefly, very, very, very zip package of it, inshallah, perhaps I'll share with you tonight, in particular night of Hazrat Abu al-Fadl Abbas. I think this part of it I mentioned for the morning group, and it's good to repeat it for everybody. Please, because it's the month of Muharram and still the opportunity is on, the gate is not closed yet, make a commitment on to practice what I'm inshallah sharing with you from the holy lips of Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam. Surah Al-Fajr is chapter 89 of the Holy Quran, consists of, from my memory, 30 ayah, but short ayat, perhaps one page of the normal edition of the Quran. This Surah Fajr is known as Suratul Hussein, Surah Imam Hussein alayhi salam. All the details, we didn't have the time to talk about it and the reasons and everything, suffices to share with you one hadith for those who are interested, inshallah, to receive the promise that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is giving this hadith. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that man admana qira'at al-fajr fi fara'idhihi wa nawafilih كان مع الحسين عليه السلام في درجته يوم القيامة. Those who are habituated, brought it as part of their routine, spiritual diet, whatever you want to name it, that they are used to reciting Surah Al-Fajr, especially in the morning, either if possible for in your Salat Al-Fajr, your morning prayer. Normally the best is we do it after Surah Hamd, in the first rak'at, and surah the second rak'at, that is mustahab to read Qul Huwa Allah, we keep Qul Huwa Allah there. Or if it's a jama'ah, you are concerned that those behind you may be tired or it's not possible, however, do it in your nafil namaz subh. Bring it to your spiritual diet, add it. For the beginning, you can look at the Quran if you don't know it off by heart. It's absolutely fine. I don't know where some people have got this from. They think that reading the surah from the Quran in namaz is not permissible. No, what's wrong with that? Hold the Quran or the app of the Quran and read it from your mobile. And if you do it for a while, you get used to it. You memorize it. Soon, quickly, you will inshallah memorize it. And think about the reward of it, how generous the Almighty God is. If I miss out, it's my fault. Otherwise, subhanAllah, look at the generosity of Ahlul Bayt. Ahlul Bayt wished all of us to be associated with them. Like caring, compassionate parents, as the Holy Prophet says, Anaba aliyun abawa hadhil umma. We are like two fathers of this community. Which father doesn't want his children to be with them? Okay? So it is up to us now whether we want to, inshallah, hoping and practicing this in the hope that inshallah we will have the company of Imam Hussein alayhi salam or not, with salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. All right, because of this, last night you remember we stopped here from a holy lips of Imam Baqir alayhi salam, that Imam Baqir says that when Sahib al Asr wa Zaman inshallah will reappear, that God knows when it's going to be. فَيَدْعُ النَّاسَ إِلَىٰ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. He will be calling mankind to the book of God, i.e. the Holy Quran. That means that at that time, God forbid, unfortunately, even Muslims had by and large abandoned the Quran, so much so that Imam Zaman has to revive the Quran. And we mentioned that the revolution of Imam Hussein and the revolution of Imam Zaman are completely linked to each other. Imam Zaman, Ajjalallah Farajahu Sharif, in his visitation of his grandfather, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, part of the visitation, Imam Zaman says, Kunta, addressing Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Kunta lirrasule walada walil qur'ane munqida. My dear grandfather, you were the son of the Holy Prophet and you were the savior of the Quran. So Imam Hussein's alayhi salam's revolution was to save and safeguard the Quran. Allahu Akbar, the whole tragedy of Karbala, the holy blood and life of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family are sacrificed so that the holy Quran is not compromised. Please let us remember this. So as azadaran Imam Hussein alayhi salam, mourners for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we also have an obligation to stand behind the path of Imam Hussein alayhi salam to make sure that the holy Quran is not compromised in our community, is not compromised in our personal family life. The holy Quran is not abandoned by us, to put it this way, because Imam Hussein will come to us on the judgment day and says that I was the savior of the Quran. So if you abandon the Quran in your life in one way or the other, that means you disrespected my blood. Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayh. Tonight's session, inshallah, a humble dedication, as I said, a very zip version of what I had prepared throughout for the morning session, zip version about the significance of the Quran in respect of the holy blood of Imam Hussein alayhi salam as the savior of the Quran. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا. That is how Surah Al-Furqan, chapter 25 of the Quran begins. Inshallah, those who can see the screen, they will see the ayah on the screen as well. The Almighty God in the beginning of chapter 25 of the Quran, Surah Al-Furqan, says, blessed, tabaraka. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala twice has said to himself, barakallah, barakallah. What do you say, barakallah? Mashallah, well done. So blessed you. God is the same, like kind of, excuse the expression, kind of bravo to himself. One is at the time of the creation of Adam, which is the creation of human being. Tabarakallah ahsanul khaliqin. God says, bravo, you are the best created. Like, so blessed you are. Bravo is an English expression. Don't be so picky about the term that I'm using. And the second time, or first time, whichever you want to take it, not in any chronological order, is when the Quran is revealed. The final testament is revealed. The Almighty God in Surah Al-Furqan says, Tabarak alladhi nazzal al-Furqan. Blessed is the Almighty God has revealed the book that I tell you the some of the beautiful, unique, miraculous characteristics of the Holy Quran. Nazzal al-Furqan does not refer to it as Quran for a reason. Quran has different names and titles. One of the names of the Quran is al-Furqan. Furqan literally means criterion. Furqan literally means a scale. Furqan literally means ruler. When you want to measure the accuracy or inaccuracy of something, you need a scale. You need a standard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I've sent you a standard, a criterion, to check any ideology, any speech, anything you want to check, whether it's true or false, examine it against the Furqan, i.e. against the Quran. If it's compatible with the revelation, with the word of God, it's true. If it's not compatible, it is false. Even the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, السلام, for example, Imam Al-Baqir, السلام, he's teaching, training his students. He says, when you ask me a mas'ala shari'i and I give you an answer, tell me, Aga, where did you get this from the Quran? Because whatever we tell you is coming from the Quran. It's based in the Quran. I don't want to prolong, and I'm very much concerned about the time, to give you just a quick touch of an example. Somebody came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and said, Aga, why did you tell us that when we want to do the wiping of the head, we see that Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they wipe all their head. You might have seen it that with two hands, they just wipe the wet hands all around the head. But you told us just a little bit, even with one finger or the front side is enough. Where did you get this from the Quran? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, very simple, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Quran says, وَمْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسَكُمْ Ba is لَتَبْئِيد in Arabic, means Ba, if Quran has says, وَمْسَحُوا رُؤُوسَكُمْ it means wipe your whole head. But Quran says, وَمْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسَكُمْ that means part of your head, not all of your head. The guy was amazed. What Imam Sadiq see from the letter Ba of the Quran, a jurisprudential rule is coming. Allahu Akbar. That's why that Quran says, Quran is Furqan. any jurisprudential rules, like the differences I told you last night, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, I wish I had the opportunity to sit with those who are practicing Islam in different ways. I will prove them wrong based on the Quran. The criterion is with us. Quran is a book that is accepted by all Muslims. Let's check it against the Quran and with the Quran. نزل الفرقان على عبده. Then Quran refers to the Holy Prophet as Abd. Slave of God for the reason, the message for us. That also means that, my dear, if you and I wish to understand the Quran, we have to make sure that we are influenced by our interests, by our business interests, by political pressure on us, by world pressure on us, by politicians' pressure on us. No, independently, purely for the sake of God, be a slave of God. Open the Quran. Quran talks to you and you will understand the Quran. This is the one of the secrets of understanding. So, نزل الفرقان على عبده. What's the purpose of revelation sending down? ليكون للعالمين نذيرا. So that the Holy Prophet is a warner for the entire worlds of the humankind throughout the generations until the judgment day, as well as the jinn. As you know, Surah Jinn, also Quran, was not even for the human, let alone for one particular nation. Here, therefore, Quran is very clear that Quran is not for one particular age or era. It's not what some people, they think that, okay, Quran is obsolete and outdated and we need to work things out ourselves. We don't need the Quran anymore. Come on, 1400 years ago? A book that belonged for was sent down 1400 years ago. You cannot even compare the requirements of our modern time with 100 years ago, 50 years ago even. How can you use and bring a scripture, a book of 1400 years, and expect to solve the problems of our modern life? Okay, this is the argument. We want to see what Ahlul Bayt, what the Quran says. Quran clearly says that Quran is for the whole world, not only humans, for the jinns as well. Imam Ali ibn Musa Ridha alayhi salam was asked this question, that, Aga, why is it that the Quran is for the old generations? How does it work? Because we hear that the previous scriptures were for limited time. Even Matthew, and I'm quoting according to the Gospel of Matthew, the accuracy of it, I don't take the responsibility. I'm just quoting from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew is quoting from Jesus Christ who have said, I was sent only for the lost sheep of Israel. The Jewish culture, also the Old Testament, when you look, the humans were divided into Jews and Gentiles. If you were Gentiles, Gentile means non-Jew. If you are Gentile, so this is not for you. This tablecloth of the religion that they called it Judaism is only for the Jewish community. So it was more of a racial related to particular race, okay? In for Jesus also, because of the continuation of the Jewish community, they say the same. And the previous scriptures were either lost by the public or distorted, therefore they were abrogated. The new version of it has to come so that it encompasses the previous one. They ask Imam Ali ibn Musa Ridha alayhi salam, Aga, how come that Quran, this doesn't happen to the Quran? Look at the answer of Imam Ali ibn Musa Ridha alayhi salam in the book, authentic book of, very reliable, I mean, book of Uyun Akhbar al-Ridha, the fountains of the narrations of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. Imam Ridha alayhi salam says, لَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يُنزِلْهُ لِزَمَانٍ دُونَ زَمَانٍ وَلَا لِنَاسٍ دُونَ نَاسٍ. It's because the Almighty God did not send this Quran for a particular era and a particular group of people. Rather, it was sent for the whole mankind throughout the time and generations, all the way till the judgment day. This is exactly the word of Imam Ali ibn Musa Ridha alayhi salam. And if anybody says otherwise, you can say that they are talking against the Quran and against the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. We were committed from first night to stick to the words of the Quran than the words of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. علامه طباطبایی رضوان الله علیه, may God elevate his status, has an analogy here very briefly. He says, do you know why Quran does not become abrogated? Quran does not become out of date? Because the Holy Quran and the religion of Islam is the religion of fitrah, instinct. I think it's اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد in Surah Rum. فطرة الله التي فطر الناس عليها لا تبديل لخلق الله ذلك الدين القيم. He refers to this ayah and he says it's because the teachings of Islam are so compatible with your nature. Wallah al-Azim, as someone who has lived with non-Muslims for many years, when I'm talking to them, the teachings of Islam, you can see the difference between what Islam is proposing. So compatible. Islam, on the one, like for example, in Christianity, Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. They assume that if you want to maintain your spirituality, you need to remain celibate and not to get married. Islam says, on the contrary, مَنْ تَزَوَّجَ فَقَدْ أَحْرَزَ نِسْوَ دِينَ. Half of your religion will be completed. Do you see that how compatible it is with human nature? Quran in that ayah in Surah Rum says, because the Islam and the teachings of Islam are compatible with human nature. Allama Tabatabai says, a natural human is no difference between millenniums back or millenniums later. Millenniums back, humans, they had to and they needed to reproduce. They needed to eat and drink. They had physical needs, spiritual needs. Today and wherever in the world that you need is the same. So far as you are a natural, normal human, the requirements are the same. And because Islam is the religion of meeting the needs of natural human, it does not belong to any particular age or group. Look at the beauty of the word of the Quran. لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ. There is no change in the creation of God. Meaning that how God has created you as a natural human is exactly what your ancestors millennium back were created and in the future will be created. This is the creation of God. Because it's a creation of God and there is no change in that, the rules are also compatible. The way that it is said is to make it very compatible. Inshallah, it's clear. Quran also introduces itself. The Almighty God refers in the Quran to itself with this expression that Quran is tabiyanan lekul shay, explanation for all your requirements. An example is in Surah An-Nahl. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Wa nazzalna alayka al-kitaba tabiyanan lekul shay. The Almighty God, Majesty, we says that we send down to you the book, yani the Quran, tabiyanan lekul shay, explanation, exposition for all what you need, everything. There is no such thing, as I told you, but you need to have the expertise to understand it. That's why we need the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Otherwise, ordinary humans would be oblivious of that ba of that in that particular ayah. Okay. So, but the Quran has the explanation for all what you need. Again, before I explain this one, if I may quickly make a detour. Brothers and sisters, especially the youngsters, with all respect to the elderly, I'm not used to addressing the elderly because I consider them my senior and I need to learn from them. That's why I said the youngsters. Although because Imam Hussein is the youth of paradise, everybody here is considered youngsters, all right? Because Imam Hussein is the Sayyid Shabab Ahl al-Jannah. Those mourners of Imam Hussein are all among the youth of paradise, irrespective of your age. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. However, because it's the age of technology and internet and surfing on the net, and I have some leisure time going on YouTube and different things, and curiosity, unfortunately or fortunately, for a good reason, God has made the youngsters, young people, the youth, more curious to discover for good reasons. But this curiosity sometimes, unfortunately, costing them a lot. As we say in English, curiosity killed the cat. Okay? Make sure that it doesn't apply to us. Brothers, sisters, Quran in Surah Abbas says, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ. Man shall look at the food that he takes. Imam Sadiq, not me, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says the interpretation of this ayah, one of the interpretations is, عِلْمِهِ الَّذِي يَأْخُذُهُ عَمَّنْ يَأْخُذُهُ. Be selective. In as much as you're selective which cuisine, which restaurant you go to eat, likewise be selective of the knowledge where you take it from. Not any Tom, Dick, and Harry who delivers and is a cool dude I need to listen to them for just for the sake of curiosity. Be selective, because the food, the spiritual food, the knowledge that you are intaking is the spiritual diet. If it's contaminated, if it's poisonous, and you don't have the qualification to find the poison in it, you are poisoning yourself. And therefore, in the West, as they say, that prevention is easier and cheaper than cure and treatment. It's easier to say, no, sorry, thank you very much. Please don't forward this to me. I'm not interested. I'm very selective in what I watch, what I read, what I listen to. Not anything and everything. Sorry, this is not a rubbish bin. This is not a trash. My soul is not a trash. Don't dump everything on me. I'm very selective. Am I making any sense? And at the same time, why I said this to bridge it to this. Anytime you hear naturally something and you are not sure if it's authentic or not, true or not, if you see it's becoming part of your belief, check it with the learners. Fas'alu ahla dhikr. Ask the learned scholars, check it whether you are on the right track or not. Imams of Ahlul Bayt al-Musallam had trained their students, their companions, for a regular checkup. Medically, again, in the West, they encourage, even they provide it free. Medicare, go to the GP, is normally free. You don't need to pay anything because it's to the benefit of the governments. They say if you go to the GPs and go for regular checkup and no, they notice anything, to prevent it is costing the government less than later on treat it. Likewise, go time to time. The Imams of Ahlul Bayt had trained their students, come time to time for a regular checkup to make sure you are on the right track. Because we cannot afford on the judgment day that, oops, there is no oops anymore. By the way, now come to the hadith. Mu'adh ibn Muslim was one of the companions of Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam. He has a brother. His name is Umar. Umar doesn't mean that he was Sunni or Shia. It was in the mixed community. Tomorrow night, inshallah, I will elaborate more on this. You cannot assume he was Shia or Sunni because these names did not belong to particular individuals. But anyway, apparently it seems that this Umar, and I'm paraphrasing it, making it 21st version of the story, it seems this young boy Umar also was very curious, and he was surfing on the net, checking things that was not healthy, and had came up with some ideas that Quran is not really very much applicable in our modern time, in our time. Yes, read it for the sake of reward of it, like a history book. But especially when it comes to Sharia law, certain laws, we have to work things out ourselves. We have to look at what the government that we live in is telling us and act like that. Kiss the Quran, keep it on the bookshelf. His brother, Mu'adh ibn Muslim, says, brother, you are wrong. This is not true. He said, no. I heard from Abu Shakir Disani, Ibn Abil Awja, those atheists. And the guy did not have the qualification to counterattack it. He said, why can't we go to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam? He said, okay. They go to Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam to cross-examine his belief. Allahu Akbar, I don't have time. I told you that you didn't turn up. And sorry, with all respect, your loss to go, that I'm not going to the details, or your gain, saving your time, whichever you want to interpret it. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam provides such a brilliant explanations for the misgivings that the guy has had, his name Umar. Until the Imam at the end, the Imam says, Inna Allaha lam Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Inna Allah what is the do we have it on the screen, Brother Akbar? The meaning of this is very beautiful. Is that in Allah lam yunzilhu lan Allah azza wa jal Allahu Akbar. The beginning of the hadith doesn't come. You have it from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. It's in the book of Mahasin. Do you have the text, Arabic text? Because I don't have the screen with me. إِنَّ اللَّهَ نَزَّلَ الْقُرْآنَ فِي أَقْوَامٍ. Beautiful statement of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. The Almighty God revealed the Quran in a community. Pay attention. Maybe it's highlighted in red. Quran is revealed in a community, not for a community. Do you see the difference?
Quran was revealed in a community at the time of the Prophet. Limited place, limited people. But not for those people. And then the conclusion is that the Imam says that, and that's why وَهِيَ تَجْرِي فَنَّاسِ إِلَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ هِيَ يعني the verses of the Quran continues. Allahu Akbar. The example Imam Sadiq gives, such a beautiful example. Imam says, do you see that how the sun in the sky and the moon in the sky, they run and flow all the way to the judgment day? Do you ever, anyone with a common sense ever says that, look my friend, this sun in the sky has been there for millennium, for millions of years. This is obsolete, outdated. It's about the time that we work out a new sun, the new moon, new solar system. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, Quran is like that. Because the Almighty God that I mentioned this morning has sent two types of signs to introduce himself. سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ One is the nature, as the signs of God. That's why they are referred to as آيَاتُ اللَّهِ. Another one, the book. آيَاتِ الْكَتْبِيرِ The written signs of God, the Holy Quran. In as much as the natural signs of God, the natural آيَاتُ اللَّهِ, they do not become obsolete, outdated. Every day scientists discover new laws and nature looks so fresh. Likewise, the Holy Quran is also like that. Every new generation of scholars, they discover new laws from the Quran. And it's always remaining fresh. Imam says, all the way to the judgment day. With salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now, Allah, so therefore, when it comes to Quran, the Quran is the whole package. God says, and I mentioned this ayah before, those who say that نؤمنوا ببعضٍ ونكفروا ببعض, only the moral rules mentioned in the Quran, we take it. But when it comes to Sharia law, goodbye to it. Quran says you don't believe in any Quran. It's a full package. Take it or break it. Okay? When it comes to the Sharia law, and by the way, Sharia law unfortunately is misintroduced, misinterpreted. And that's why it's so, and there are agenda behind it in the West secular world that to make it sound too detested to people. Sharia law, it means the law set by the Almighty God in terms of belief, in terms of morality, in terms of day-to-day aspects of life, in all walks of life. This is called Sharia law, okay? Quran, when it comes to examples of Sharia law, mentions this phrase repeatedly. تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا I give you a quotation from Surah Al-Baqarah with regards to the law of divorce. For those who say that we live in the West and therefore the civil divorce suffices us, we don't need to worry about the Islamic divorce, Quran is clearly against this dogma. تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ God says that, look, these are the limits set by and ordained by the Almighty God. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ Those who cross the limits, other than caring and following the rules of divorce according to the Sharia law and Islamic law, they say they cross it and they go to the civil law. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ They are the wrongdoers, wrong believers. They are going on the wrong direction. Clearly, and there are more examples. I just gave you one example of this. That was only an introduction. Why I say all of this? Because brothers and sisters, it is my duty to sit here, as I said, Quran says, be a warner, to warn the younger generation of what is happening. Conspiracies are coming up against Islam, against the next generations. We elderlies, we have only a responsibility to warn and inshallah pass the information to the youngsters. Inshallah they take it on board. After September 11, the world order was changed. Islamophobia started in a new fashion, different than the 20th century. The reason for that is because even today, if you go to CIA website, you see Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. There's no question about it. Now, to stop this one, we have to put our efforts in different ways. One is to create radical Islam. Call it Al-Qaeda one day, another day call it ISIS. A president comes and blames the previous president that the previous president, Obama, created ISIS. I bet you the next president comes and says that Trump created this. Quran says, Every time anyone comes, لعنت اختها. They are cursing the previous one, say that I'm right. And no, it's the same policy anyway. On the one hand is this. On the other hand, a very satanic plot emerged. Rumi says, ماهی از سر گنده گردد نیزه دم. If you want to spoil a fish and see how a fish spoils from the head, not from the tail. So what are we supposed to do? We need to go to the heads of the community. We need to go to those who are wearing the turban. We need to create a hozelmiye parallel to hozelmiye Qom and Najaf. We need to say that why marja'iyya has to be in only in Qom and Najaf. And that's a sound argument. Nobody says it has to be in Qom and Najaf. Qualification matters. So Oxford University will come with ayatollahs. We produce also ayatollahs. And we give grant in aids to the institutions. We are financially helping, supporting you. It started right after September 11. And because Australia is quite isolated geographically from the Western countries, in 2006, about 5 years later, reached to Australia, this story. And I'm giving you from the horse's mouth, and still information are publicly available. This is not the classified information, all right? In 2006, Australian government, following the other Western countries a little bit behind even from them, held a seminar inviting all the imams from all around the country, nationwide. 3 days, a seminar in a very luxurious hotel. The purpose of that seminar was what? The representative of the government comes to the seminar, reading verses of the Quran, in English, of course, and says that you imams... May I again go quickly to footnotes? Western media are so orchestrated and there are intelligence behind it in terms of the wordings. You will never see in any Western media refer to Ayatollah Sistani as Imam Sistani. But a self-declared sheikh, they easily call him Imam Kada Kada. Follow this, you see if I'm right or not. Why they say this? Even Imam Khomeini, that's so well known worldwide by Muslims, refer to him as Imam Khomeini. They never refer to him as Imam Khomeini, Ayatollah Khomeini. You know why? Because Ayatollah to them means nothing. Doesn't mean anything, Ayatollah. They say it's a title for it. But Imam, they know it means a leader. So they don't want to insinuate this in the mind of the readers that, look, Ayatollah Sistani is an imam. He's a leader. You have to follow him. Call him Ayatollah Sistani, as people call him Ayatollah Sistani. But when it comes to the so-called sheikh that serves our purpose, make sure you always refer to him as imam, imam, imam. Pass this information. Let people think that he's an imam. He's a leader. By the way, coming back, I am not supposed to speak politics. Sallallahu alaihi Muhammad wa Muhammad. My very dear brothers and sisters, Abul Fadl Abbas that we are going to cry for tonight, he gave his right hand and he said, right, left, my head, you take it, but you cannot take my religion. This is the lesson tonight we need. Majlis of Abul Fadl Abbas is majlis of being more zealous about our religion and our faith. Don't take it loosely. By the way, what they did, they introduced and he read verses of the Quran and said that you imams have the responsibility to introduce the Quran in a way that fits Australian context, Western context. Back then, many didn't understand what it means. Now that more than 15 years have passed, subhanAllah, things have become much more apparent. Elderlies, inshallah, especially educated elderlies like yourselves, remember that in the 20th century, the critiques of the Quran were mainly certain, not even all of them, some Orientalists. True or not? Some Orientalists, you would see, they would criticize Quran and Islam. Today, the critiques of the Quran are wearing turban. Some, with all respect to majority. Self-declared Ayatollah, you see that they are criticizing the Quran. I have studied under the big shots. So I'm giving you information from the horse's hand. When I'm telling you religious pluralists, in truth, at least their heads, for sure they don't believe in Islam. Others are they ignored or soon they will join the camp as well. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about and where I'm getting my information is coming from the horse's mouth directly. They come up with this and say, oh, Quran is outdated. Why? Why is it that if you say that Quran was for the whole mankind, how come in the Quran, come on, we live in Kenya, for example. We like mango and coconut, very beneficial fruits. How come, find me in the Quran any mention of mango, any mention of coconut. Why, how come it's not mentioned? Why Quran only talks about grapes and fig and zaytun, olive? So Quran was for those Arabs at that time. It's not a universal book for universal time. I really wonder what kind of intelligence they have. And how do they really think that we are that dumb, with all respect? My dear, Quran is giving examples. First of all, if you ever had read Surah Ar-Rahman, you would know that Quran says, فِيهِمَا مِنْ كُلِّ فَاكِهَةٍ زَوْجَانٍ. In paradise, for from every fruit you can imagine, there is a pair available for you. Quran is not limiting. When Quran speaks about grape, it speaks about fig and olive, these are examples thrown to you. How come that Quran, where he wants to give example, God wants to give example, only mentions camel? I'm not a cameler. Come on, I live in Europe now and I never see even camel. So Quran is not for me. My dear, Quran again is giving you example. It's natural. Last night I gave you an example. I said the example of black shirt because I'm talking to this crowd. If it was a celebration, perhaps I would give example of, blue, white, or red shirt. It's natural that you consider your audience, but these are only examples. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفَتْ. Don't they look at the camel, how it is created, and the heaven, how it's elevated? You change it. This is only example. Say, don't you look at the kangaroo, how it's created? These are examples. You don't pick on the examples. They don't mean that the rule belongs only to the addresses of the example. It's natural. It's for the purpose of education. When you speak to a particular group of people, to their mentality and they need, you use an. It's only an example. They said, "Aga, we live in the 21st century and Quran is advocating slavery." This is one of the biggest accusations to God. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran is promoting slavery. Find me, and I challenge you on the member of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, find me one ayah in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained Muslims to take enemies as slaves. On the contrary, Surah Muhammad, sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Slavery at the time of Islam and after that and before that was very common practice during the wars, especially that they would take those fighters who were fighting me, killing me, they take them, arrest them, and then there wasn't facilities like today that they put them in jail or anything. They would keep them as slaves as one of the options. Quran says, فَشُدُّ الْوَثَاقِ. During the war, in the battlefield, once you capture the enemies who was there to kill you, you disarm him, wrap him hard so that he is not stabbing you. What next? I have a question. After, imagine that you are in a battlefield, you arrested the enemy, handcuffed him that he cannot do anything. What next am I supposed to do? Either kill them or keep them as prisoners of war. What modern democratic world in today's countries, in today's world they do? You don't need to go to the 1400 years ago. I beg you to tell me in modern world, what do they do? Either they have kept them in Abu Ghraib jails. It's embarrassing to mention what they did to them. And did what they did to them, you know the news. Or take them or make a jail and they could call it Guantanamo Bay and put them through inhuman torture. And when UN complains, you say, oh no, but this is enhanced interrogation techniques. This is not torturing. If Muslims do it, it's called torturing. For us, it's enhanced interrogation techniques. What should we do? Do you want us to do what they are doing? Look at what Quran says. Come back to the Quran. فَشُدُّ الْوَثَاقِ فَإِمَّا مَنَّا بَعْدُ وَإِمَّا فِدَاءً. Allahu Akbar. Look at this beautiful religion. Quran says either give them a favor and freedom. If you see signs of regret in them, send them back on the condition you don't come back to fight me again. Or ask for a ransom. On the ransom, you'll be freed. And ransom, you have heard part of the history of Islam, inshallah. The Holy Prophet sometimes was telling them, look, you are literate, you know literacy. Come and teach some Muslims who are illiterate. The price of your freedom is to teach some Muslims. You'll be free for the sake of God. Imam Ali alayhi salam, our leader, was working so hard in the field from the sweat of his forehead, earning money for what purpose? Not to add to his bank accounts and mansions, to have money to be able to buy slaves, to free them. One of the virtues of Imam Ali alayhi salam is that in his life he freed over 1,000 slaves. The Holy Prophet says, "Sharru nas man ba'a nas." Worse humans, worse creatures are those who buy humans in the form of slavery. But what about selling? No, because you free them. That's why you see Islam looks for any opportunity. That's how it's eradicated without any bloodshed like in the West, in America. Among Muslims, because Islam was encouraging Muslims, you made a mistake, kafara. The first option of kafara is what? Free a slave. Free a slave. Free a slave. You see these rules? Part of the zakat to be given. This was a very intelligent system Islam utilized to get rid of slavery without any bloodshed. My dear brothers and sisters, please, for God's sake, don't be upset with me if I tell you this. Do you promise? Otherwise, I'm not going to share it. Those who promise me, sallallahu alaihi Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alaihi Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. In the beginning, we had a deal that the Prophet, the one who wants to teach Quran, has to be a warner. We are here to learn our mistakes, to improve ourselves, with all respect to the community. I'm talking about 1,400 years ago, 1,300 years ago, at the times of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, that the slaves were treated like subhumans, like animals, worse than animals. I'll tell you how Islam elevated the status of slaves until freed them. By the practice of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam, how many of us, we sit ever with our workers and maids when it's the time for lunch or dinner? The best that we usually do is to share the same food with them. No, Imams of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam, when they were opening the tablecloth, they used to sit with their slaves, not workers, not maids and workers. I'm talking about the slaves. And not now, in the 21st century, 1,400 years ago, they used to sit with their slaves and eat. A man comes to visit Imam Reza, alayhi salam, and then Imam says, stay with us for lunch. He was so honest. Oh, I'm going to go to my family and say that I had lunch with Ayatollah Sistani. By all means, when they open the tablecloth and the slaves are bringing, it was common to have, male, female slaves. They put all the food and then they sat around the table. The guy looked weird and said, Aga, are they going to be here? Imam says, what's wrong? We are all coming from Adam's family. Our parents are the same, Adam and Eve. What makes you think that you're special? What makes me think that I'm special? Aga, this is Islam, my dear. If you want to talk about slavery, look at the whole package and then introduce. And you tell me that which one with a common sense does not bow before this beautiful religion and this beautiful book of Quran with salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Sincere apologies. I crossed the limits tonight. May God forgive me, inshallah. It was for the sake of Quran and also because I wanted to summarize 10 sessions, 9 sessions in one session, very briefly, inshallah. Ya Allah, we have to go to Karbala, the night of Ashura. Tonight is the night of Abul Fazl Abbas. Do we need to read Masaif to cry for Abul Fazl Abbas? Just you need to remember who Abul Fazl Abbas is. One of the poets put it very beautifully. He says, if you want to shed tears, in Karbala on Ashura, Imam Hussein cried for numbers of his companions and family members. But there is only one person they have mentioned, that Wabaka, Buka, and Shadida. Imam Hussein, when it came to Abul Fazl Abbas, his brother Abbas, he wept and cried so much. Very exceptional. And that's why he says, أَحَقُ النَّاسِ أَنْ يُبْكَى عَلَيْ فَتَنْ أَبْكَى الْحُسَيْنَ بِكَرْبَلَى. Tears, if you wish to shed, be shed for the one who made Imam Hussein alayhi salam even cry for him on the day of Ashura. No, you know the story, and inshallah on the night of Ashura we'll mention it. On the night of Ashura, Agha Abu al-Fazl Abbas was the first who presented his loyalty. Then that's why he's the most loyal companion and family member of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. On the day of Ashura, it's in the early afternoon of Ashura, after Namaz Zuhr. Companions already scattered on the plain of Karbala. Bani Hashim, Ali Akbar, even Qasim was martyred. Most of them were martyred. Perhaps it's only Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Abu al-Fadl Abbas, and Ali Asghar still is not martyred. Both Imam Hussein and Abu al-Fazl on the two sides are fighting. At the same time, imagine the scene they are hearing. According to Allama Majlisi, they are hearing the painful cry of Al-Atash, Al-Atash of children. Imam Hussein alayhi salam tried to get closer to his brother Abbas and said, "My dear Abbas, do you hear the cry of the kids? I'm concerned that our children may die of thirst. Is it possible? Fatlob lil atfale, try to get some water for the children." There was a tent apparently dedicated for the water skins. In those days, there wasn't a bottle of water. Water skins, naturally. And it has a band. And they were putting in the well to get the water out. One tent was dedicated for that. Abu al-Fadl Abbas is going to grab some water skins. And subhanAllah, he saw a scene that burns him. What did he see? Naturally, there is no more water left. All the water skins are empty. But because they had kept the water there, the sand on the ground of the tent still has a bit of moisture. And these kids, nephews and nieces of Abbas, perhaps some children of Abu al-Fadl Abbas, had pulled off their shirt and put their chest on the sand of Karbala to quench their thirst. As soon as they saw Uncle Abbas, you could see the sparks of lights of hope in their eyes. They ran to Uncle Abbas, "Uncle, grab my water skin." And they were promising each other, hugging each other, smiling that Uncle Abbas is gonna get us water. Uncle Abbas, as many as water skins he could hold, he put them on his neck and on the arm, and he's riding his horse towards the river. Allahu Akbar, imagine the scene. Omar Sa'd had ordered and that blocked the river. No matter how difficult, Abu al-Fadl Abbas crossed through and reached the river. Maybe he's talking to the water of Farad, the nuptial gift of Fatima to Zahra, filled up all the water skins. And he wants to make his way back to the tents. The mission of Abbas is to bring the water for the children. He looks and he thinks that it's impossible to cross the crowd of the enemy. And therefore he changed his route and decided to go through the palm trees. This way he can cover himself better. But as he is riding his horse, Allama lajuraka ya sahib al-zaman. One of the enemies who had ambushed behind one of the trees severed the right arm of Abbas. Those who have been in Karbala, remember you visited Kafal Abbas in Karbala. Right arm of Abbas was severed. Quickly he carried the water skins with the left arm and continues until soon they severed his right, the left arm as well. Abbas is handless, armless, but still is riding his horse. All his body is bleeding, but he is sharply looking forward until arrows sat on the eyes of Abu al-Fadl Abbas. Abbas cannot see anymore. Naturally, he's falling off the horse. Brothers, if you fall off and you don't have any arms, how would you protect yourself? That's why Abbas fell on the ground on his face and painfully cried, "Ya Akhak, Adrak Akhak, brother, come to your rescue of your brother." This is where they have mentioned when Imam Hussein alayhi salam came and looks at the body of Abbas, so painfully cried, and putting his hands on his arms, he says, "Al-Ayyan, Enkasar Allah Riyyi." وقللت حيلتي ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين
وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. صلوات.